go with me here with the story for just a second. Friend comes over and says, hey, why don't you go out? Let's go out and hang out tonight. And you say, oh, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What's all involved? And he doesn't really say much. He just wants you to go with him. But then all of a sudden he says, you know, before we go, we need to do a couple things. And he pulls out this Kevlar vest. And he starts sizing you up. And you think to yourself, all right, I mean, immediately when he starts talking about going somewhere, and I know I got it on backwards. Do I really have it on backwards? Well, there's the tag. I thought the tag went in on the inside. All you SWAT enforcement, law enforcement, this is going to, is that still on backwards? It's really, this is just the way I look like in just a regular t-shirt. But, and so he puts this on, little Kevlar, and then he says, all along the while you're asking questions, right? And then he starts to suit you up. I'm not going to put that down on my chin because I don't want to mess my beard up. But he starts to suit you up, and you get this thing going. And now I can really hear myself real well. And, I don't know. We got this and a little bit of urban camouflage. And all of a sudden, I don't know what you'd be thinking, but I don't want to go wherever he's going to take me to. Right? I mean, it's not my look. And then, you know, he straps all this stuff on. Let's see here. Got all this stuff. And he still hasn't told you where we're going yet. And we got all this stuff going. And I got some gloves here. And body piercing or armored knee pads. And then he sees, asks you, have you ever shot anything before? And not with a toilet paper roll gun, you haven't. But the whole idea or the whole thing of even just the word armor. Now, don't be taking pictures and then putting it on YouTube or anything. The whole idea of just the word armor puts you in a whole different frame of mind. All of a sudden, going out for the night, now all of a sudden brings, or it changes everything. And it causes all kinds of different questions to be asked. And there's a whole now different set of concerns that we have to have. And before a guy starts strapping vests and stuff on me and bulletproof helmets, I want to know where we're going, and I want to know what's the deal, because I'm not getting in the car with anybody when this is necessary or required. I'm sorry, but here's the deal. Now, you wouldn't think much of it, and that is super heavy to wear. You wouldn't think much of it if the job was, hey, where we're going tonight is this Colombian drug lord's house, and we're gonna go have a chat with him. I ain't chatting with nobody. No way. They could, you know, but you would understand, right? I mean, if this is the task, then this all makes sense. And even more than that, because I'd like some rocket launchers and, I would rather be like, what do you call it? Not there. Watching it on a screen somewhere, you know, sort of like the 24 movies, and you're watching, and it's like, no, but it explodes, but it's only all on the screen. And then you just, oh, I can't believe it happened. But I just don't want to be where the explosions are taking place. But I totally get this. If this is what we're doing, or if we're going to infiltrate a skinhead militia, and I got to face some guy like that up there, looks like he done got the worst. I don't know what's written over his eyebrows, but now if this is my night out with you, then I totally understand, and then I would get with one of you fellas and make sure I got my vest on right after that. But because that totally makes sense. Or if the objective is, if you said, hey, we're going to go have dinner tonight with the Taliban, then, yeah, I want all of this, right? I want all this on. I want to try to grow my beard out just a little more. Take me a towel, see if what I can do with it to sort of. But this all makes sense. Armor makes a whole lot of sense. When the night or the evening or the event or the situation, if this is what we're talking about. But you would imagine, what if the guy dresses you up and says, hey, you know, we got to go somewhere. And you say, man, where are we going with all this stuff? And you say, oh, we're just going to go to the office. Go to the office? I got to be like this for the office. What kind of office do you work in? And what kind of folks do you work with? Oh, he said, no, it's just a neighborhood party. It's just going to be among friends. You say, man, isn't this, aren't we going to scare them to death? Yeah, it'd be real cool. Let's go. No. Well, let me ask you. Have you ever been hurt by somebody in the office? Have you ever worked with somebody that stabbed you in the back? Just interested. I mean, you say, yeah, preacher's a long time ago, and I appreciate you reminding me of it. So you've worked with people that stabbed you in the back? Is that right? Well, it's because you didn't have your vest on right. No, that's not a reason. I'm a preacher. I got soft hands. I don't know how vests go on. But, yeah, have you ever been, as the song said just a little bit, moment ago, have you ever been betrayed by a friend? Anybody? Wow. So family and friends can do quite a damage. Now, probably not from the outside, right? They're not shooting at you physically, shooting, and maybe so. That depends on where you grew up and what kind of family you grew up with. But the hurts sometimes they can last longer than what it really takes to heal a wound, an actual physical wound. Sometimes what your good friends, smiling friends at work or your neighborhood can do to you have a greater impact than just trying to recover from a physical ailment. And so this certainly might be on the outside overkill from what we need to go to work tomorrow. Especially, you know, since I'm just, I'm the data entry guy in a cubicle. But boy, I'd like to have that. You're going to need some. The thing that I want the next couple, 3 weeks to do is get you to come up with some sort of a word, some sort of a touchstone, something to remind you. Because if you got up every morning and you strapped on some Kevlar and you strapped on this and you had body armor and a helmet, if you had to do that every morning, it automatically puts you in the right frame of mind for protection and defense. I mean, guys who literally do it for a living, when you start strapping on stuff like this, then all of a sudden things get real serious. And so the idea of armor causes the proper frame of mind that all of us need to have, even in what we would call innocent or harmless situations. Because the scripture tells us to put on the full armor of God. We'll look at it in just in a few moments. Could you imagine dressing up. And the guy says, hey, you want to go somewhere with me this morning? And you come over and say, yeah, let's go. Where are we going? And he starts strapping on armor. He says, oh, we're going to go to church. Really? What kind of church do you go to? Hey, I know folks who've been hurt at church. Not physically. I've heard some pretty cool stories about the physical stuff. I always thought, I never really wanted to pastor a church where the sheriff had to show up and break stuff up out in the parking lot, but I'd like to have been attending that day when that happened. I think that would be cool. You know, it's like, what did y'all do? Well, we had this great fight out in the parking lot, and the sheriff had to come. I mean, that's just, you know, that's stuff you never forget. We just flood baptistries and stuff, sort of all the little war stories I have. But could you imagine? And your friend says, man, what church are you going to? I know people who have been hurt by attending a church. I know leaders who have hurt its members. I know members who have hurt their leaders. I had a pastor friend, sort of a friend, who was up preaching. And his church, half of them were trying to vote him out and get rid of him. While he's up preaching, he's watching them pack up his stuff in the pastor's office and take it out so he can be humiliated after the service and have all of his belongings sitting out on the sidewalk in a church service. I mean, Christians. Where real bullets are flying, we would probably call something like that friendly fire. But friendly fire was never intentional. When one soldier, an officer, or whatever, accidentally shoots another, it's called friendly fire, meaning obviously we didn't mean to. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong strategy, or whatever. But church life is what I know most of. And I know people who've been hurt from church leaders. And I know church leaders who've been hurt from the folks. And I know church members who have hurt each other. And yeah, coming to church like this would definitely unnerve everyone around you. But there needs to be some sort of spiritual equivalent to this. Because chances are, what you and I are going to face in our life, we're not going to need the real physical stuff. But there is an armor that all of us need. And we've got to do something to sort of put ourselves in the frame of mind. And I thought about, what I can hand you in the next couple, 3 weeks. And, you know, some little trinket or something to when you see it and touch it, your mind automatically goes on to, do I have my armor on? Is it on? Am I wearing it? Why? Because you're going to get shot at. That's the deal. I mean, if you show up to a crowd like this, quick, could you imagine a SWAT guy going in, helmet on, gun, and he goes in and just, you know, fire bah, 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 everywhere, and he runs out, and the guy says, hey, where are you going? And the guy says, they're shooting at me in there. But yeah, that's sort of the point. Didn't you? That's what we all expected, hence the armor. We all expect it in a scene or a scenario like this. And it never surprises us or shocks us. And in many instances, and the whole sermon in a nutshell is, because we expect it, we're prepared for it. And we're prepared for it and we can survive it. And because we survive it and we are prepared for it, we can actually make a difference in a scene or a scenario like this. We can capture all the bad dudes and take all the bad stuff. Because we expect it, we're prepared for it, and we're ready for it, and it doesn't catch us by surprise. But when you end up at a place like this, you don't expect it. You don't expect it to take place. Or at the family get-together. Or at work. I mean, after all, you know, preacher, we've been working together for years and years and years. And she or he, they were the one that got me into the business. And then, man, alive, it all just went this way or that way. I mean, we don't expect it. And in most of these places, whether it be at work or amongst family and friends or surely at the church, I mean, there's got to be a place where we can go and take all this stuff off, right? I mean, if you can't be vulnerable at church, and you can't take all that stuff off, and we'll end up there in a couple of weeks, because I do think that there needs to be some places where you can take this off. And there needs to be some relationships where we don't wear this. And we don't need to wear this. And there's got to be some places where you feel safe. And I believe church is one of them. But I just want to make a distinction between sort of church as a whole and particular folk within the church. Friends that you can truly open up to and take some of this stuff off and be vulnerable to them and know that they do have your back. But also to let us be wise enough to know, just because something is dubbed Christian and just because, well, these are supposed to be good folks, I know good folks who have hurt other good folks and could have survived had they done what the Scripture says to do and had their armor on. Because the verse that we're going to look at the end of this talk this morning, we'll see it in just a minute. Let me go ahead and get you to jot down a couple of references maybe and look at these later. Three things about it. I want to talk just about this idea of planting in your head this one big question. Do I have my armor on? Why? Because you're going to get shot at in this life. You're going to get shot at. And it's not, and it would obviously come from the places where you would expect, but sometimes it's going to come from unexpected places. Places where you should be able to feel like you could be able to take it off and be yourself. And open up and be vulnerable and be honest. Folks oftentimes when they're honest and they share things, then come to find out that, man, I told that person in confidence, and then they used it against me. I mean, you know how deep that cuts. We oftentimes rarely come back from that. So this morning, I simply want to talk about this idea, a mentality of armor. And where the Scripture tells Christians to put on the whole armor of God. Next couple of weeks, I want to talk about the pieces of this armor. And to make sure, because if you're asking yourself the question, do I have my armor on? And we're not talking about real physical stuff here. Obviously, then we're talking about a mindset. You got to know if you got it or not. I mean, because we're all going to look the same next week. No one needs to come next week with the real stuff on. But I hope you do come with your spiritual armor on. And not only here, but everywhere you go. And to remind yourself that you got it. So I want to talk to you a couple of weeks about armor. And then I want to finish up these talks about what happens when you do get wounded. How do you come back from a devastating wound? Church. It's supposed to be the kind of place where you can come to get better. Some of the most deviant stories you could ever imagine are when people go to places for help, whether it's a police officer or a hospital, and the doctor is a demon in disguise. I mean, you go looking for help. You run to the authority. You run to the person that's supposed to be their calling, and they take advantage of you. And, man, that is hard to heal from. But I want to finish these talks up in a couple of weeks about our spiritually wounded warriors. So, Let's talk about three things then, and then I'm done. Number one, don't be surprised, right? Don't be shocked. You don't be shocked because somebody takes a shot at you. You don't be shocked because somebody says something critical about you. You don't be shocked because somebody said something that said to somebody else that kind of a thing. I mean, when I first went off to Bible college, to be honest with you, I thought everybody there walked on water. I mean, because I didn't grow up in this that kind of an atmosphere. I went to a public school. I didn't go to the Christian school. And so when I went off to a Bible college, I just thought, man, everybody here has got to just be fired up for the Lord. I remember one night in our Bible devotions, the guy stands up and says, it's like 2 weeks before the school year was over. And he says, fellas, I got a praise item. Haven't smoked anything in the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure what he was smoking, but I know he had been there longer than 2 weeks. And it was at the end of the school year. I'm thinking, where in the world have you been sneaking around smoking this stuff? And how come I haven't smelt it on you? But I had another guy ask me one time about, did I know of any good places around the school to sneak with his girlfriend? He and I were in the same Bible classes together. And it just floored me for a minute. I thought, if I did, I wouldn't tell you. I don't want you to take a mop. No, I didn't say that. But I realized, not everybody, just because it's dubbed Christian, doesn't mean we're all spiritually healthy people here. No more it would be for you to go to a hospital and don't be surprised if you go to a hospital and actually get sick. I mean, you are around other sick people, right? So don't be surprised. Luke 17:1 says, Jesus said this, then he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. You will be offended. Somebody's going to say something or do something to you or because of you or on your behalf that it is going to be offensive, meaning you're going to be in the right about what they said. It wasn't a misunderstanding or a misjudgment. They meant to hurt you. And when it comes from an environment to where you're not expecting it, sometimes it can be devastating. I mean, yeah, if we're charging a Colombian drug lord's house, I understand getting shot at. But not from other people that claim to be followers of Christ. Yeah, don't be surprised. Number two, expect friction when you're making progress. This is sort of the silver lining. There's a story in the book of Acts, Acts 19:15. It's a real cool story. And the evil spirit answered and said, here was a guy who was trying to cast out demons. And he had seen Paul do it, and he wanted to try to do it himself because I guess, that was just, I want to go up against this demon. So he's trying to cast out a demon, and the demon speaks to him and says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? In other words, when you're making a difference spiritually, when you're growing, when you're going somewhere spiritually, when God's using you, you're going to cause and create friction. You're going somewhere. And if there's a real devil, who's he going to go after? Is he going to go after the guy who's doing nothing spiritually? Is he going to go after the guy who's neutral spiritually? No, he's going to go after you. The devil can't be everywhere all the time. The devil is not like God. He cannot tend to everyone or be involved in everyone. He has to pick and choose where he is going to throw his fiery darts. Well, if he has to pick and choose where he's going to throw his fiery darts, who do you think he's going to go after? He's going to go after folks who are making some spiritual progress. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, when you begin to make some spiritual progress, it seems like, man, you're sort of kicking up a whole lot of dust and aggravation. I had a couple that came off of, I guess it was heroin that they were on, crack or something like that, but came off of it and went dry and cleaned themselves up and all that kind of stuff, got their marriage strong back together again. And I remember her telling me one time, she said, we had less problems when we were doing drugs than since we've gotten clean, gotten right, and gotten in church. Well, yeah, you're going, you're making progress. You're upsetting this spiritual force. So that's why you have to expect it. You expect friction when you're making progress. And then last of all, before we talk about the verse, is don't mistake the enemy. And this is crucial when you're talking about your family and friends and the folks you work with, people that you love, or folks that are live in and around you. Now, it's one thing if you're just talking about the guy that's a jerk and you don't know him and he just said something to you or whatever at the, pumping gas or whatever. But we're talking about folks who live in and around your lives, inside your own house, inside where you work, in your realm of influence. The critical point, if you take home anything this morning, take this home. Don't mistake the enemy, because that person's not the enemy. Well, they're the one that said that, Pastor, and they're the one that done that. I understand that, but you're shooting at the wrong force. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So don't allow the devil would love nothing more. It's like that, you've seen that skit or whatever. You're doing something and some guy's behind you and somebody else comes over and sort of slaps you on the back of the head and runs, and you turn around and it's just this fella here. And you go firing off on him on what he's done. The fact of the matter, he's not really for sure what just happened. It's not much different than that. Jesus mentioned at one time that he was going to the cross, and Peter said, "We're never going to let this happen." Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't think Peter was being used of Satan or controlled by Satan, but what he was saying was, man, that sounds like the enemy there. But Jesus understood where this is coming from. This ain't coming from you. So don't mistake the enemy, or you'll find yourself shooting at the wrong people. Now, there is an enemy, and he is absolutely out to get you. And you're not going to have enough energy, spiritual energy, to fight him plus these other people. So you got to take your eyes off of those folk, where the stuff seemingly is coming from, and focus your attention to where the true enemy is. So then I'm finished then with this thought. So then, be prepared. Be prepared. Put on the full armor of God. Be prepared. You say, yeah, but Pastor, what's this? When he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is when we go to foreign mission fields, right, and face demonic oppression. That certainly would qualify, I'm sure. Preacher, this is when we're praying maybe for a worldwide revival or a citywide revival, and the forces of all evil are going to be out against us. I'm sure of all of that. But in the context of Ephesians chapter 6, and you can check it out for yourself, you know the relationships that he's talking about? He's talking about husband and wife, parents with kids, and employers with employees. He's not talking about facing some demonic force on a foreign field somewhere. And ended up with, now, and because of that, now make sure you charge those foreign demonic fields with the armor. He's talking about husbands and wives, parents with children, and employers and employees. He uses servants and masters, but they were bond servants, so it's like they agreed to working for it. So our application of the day would be like employees and employers. And so he gets finished talking in Ephesians 5 and 6 about basic relationships, husbands and wives, children with parents and parents with children, and employees and employers. And then he ends it up with, since we're talking about these relationships, make sure you got your armor on. Armor on for what? Husbands and wives, parents with children, children with parents, and employers and employees. Why? Because that's where you're going to get shot at. Because chances are, that's when you're not even thinking about having the armor on. Because if we're taking over a Colombian drug lord house, you better bet you, man, I want to be decked out with it. But these other relationships, you wouldn't expect it, and because of that, that's oftentimes where we get hurt the most. So he says to us, put on the full armor of God. All I want you to do this morning is to take this idea home with you and ask yourself, is it a note card you could write and stick it up on the mirror? Is it, you know, maybe a spent bullet casing or something that you could jiggle in your pocket or something that would remind you of, I got to make sure I got my armor on. Because I am making some spiritual progress here. And I do want to get spiritually healthier. And there is a real enemy. And he is going to be out to get me. And so I need to expect some fiery darts. And he's probably smarter than letting those fiery darts come from places that we would expect them to come from. The fiery darts isn't going to come from some sort of, Hollywood, wicked, cultural crap. They're not paying attention to you. The fiery darts are going to come from within. And that's why it tells us to put on the full armor of God. You got yours on? Because if you don't, you can get hurt. And in spiritual wounds, man, sometimes they can last a long time. They can affect your spirit. They affect your emotions. They can just run deep. Physical wounds, we see what we got. We see the deal. There's the bone. There's the flesh. Here's what we got to do. We're going to sew it up. This is what your limitations are going to be. Oftentimes, we move right on with that. The pain, the hurt, pop a few pills, deaden the pain, let the thing heal, and we get on right on with it. But spiritual wounds, sometimes we bury it. We don't even recognize it. We live in denial from it. We don't want to talk to anybody about it. It just festers and oftentimes can get infected. And what because of what somebody did over here, and oftentimes it was years ago, it's affecting these relationships over here. And man, it can just get a mess. So it's just a whole lot better if you just stick your armor on. And next week we'll talk just about exactly what is that armor. God has given, it's available to all of us, this whole armor of God. And we'll talk next week about that. Would you bow your heads with me, please, for just a moment?